So it's welcome to Abbas Jafar Ali from teabreak.com with the Tech Clinic today. Nick's away, so we've got the boss in. You've had a busy day. Just come up from...
Very busy day. I was in Abu Dhabi pretty much all day long. Sadly, not very productive. I had to get my car renewed after finishing off some work, and that took forever. I took my car. They failed it. They said all four tires need replacement, so I had to go to the tire shop. They didn't have it in stock. Had to wait half an hour until they got them changed, went back to get it tested, passed, went back, got it renewed. So it took a little bit longer than I would have liked. The funny thing is the actual renewal process literally took a minute. You go onto a machine, you put in your Emirates ID, you know, you pay all your fines, and pop, comes out the new card, which is fantastic. Literally 2 minutes I was done renewing it. It's what leads up to it. Took about 4 hours of my time.
And it's the fines and the hit for four new tires as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I mean, at least you know. I bet you when you drove back, you're like, oh, I can actually stop, which is kind of a nice thing.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. So it wasn't a frustrating day at all. That's not what you're trying to say.
I'm going to keep that opinion to myself.
The heat and the flustering.
Oh man. Well, look, it's nice to see you. We haven't seen you for a while, Abbas. Now, you're in Abu Dhabi today. You were doing some work. I was really hoping you were going to come back with this 3310, which is the renewed Nokia. Now, there's been lots of talk about this.
That was the plan. That was definitely the plan. Okay. Sadly, the tires kind of took going back to the office and picking one up.
But it's it's 199 dirhams for the phone.
That's right.
As you said, just a moment ago before we came on, it's an impulse buy, and you can see that people would look at this and think, that's 200 dirhams, it takes me back in time.
Absolutely.
They'll buy it and not use it, won't they?
Most likely. I mean, and you know what, it's not a bad travel phone. The saving feature of it is a 23-day standby battery life. Now, if you're traveling somewhere and you don't necessarily need data, that's not me, anybody else might, you know. So you might just want to pick it up, charge it before you leave, have it last your entire vacation, and come back with still some battery time left. So it's a good talking device. I mean, it texts, it talks, doesn't do much more than that. But if that's what you're looking for, then...
It's a good excuse to be, like, completely
offline,
disconnected and offline and, you know... Work can't reach you. I'm so sorry. I can't receive emails. It's just not happening.
But it's a partial disconnection. I mean, you can still be reached. That's the point. And I suppose in some ways it's kind of a stress-busting phone, isn't it?
It kind of is. But for me, it's going to be a bigger stress knowing what I'm missing out on, you know, not being connected. So I don't know. For me, it's going to work the other way around. It also doesn't support WhatsApp. So, I mean, you know, a lot of your personal conversations that you have with your family and stuff won't make it to the phone either.
It's central WhatsApp to
exactly.
To
how
life.
Do you make a phone without WhatsApp?
I'm talking to my
kids. I disagree with you on that one. It's WhatsApp.
No, talking to your kids or whatever, or communicating with anybody. It's
two
central.
Words or two-ish words, WhatsApp groups.
Oh,
you
I can't
mute
stand
them.
Them.
You just mute
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
as
mute,
that.
The
just
company.
Mute them.
Can you show me how to do that? there are times when you think, I really don't. I looked today and there were, I don't know, 20-something messages, and I looked at them and thought, there's nothing there that affects me. I just don't bother.
No, I absolutely agree. I'm part of some groups where I literally just scroll up all the way and then have that counter number disappear, and like I don't even bother reading a single message on them.
How are you getting on with your new phone? Because you are Mr. Gadget. You are Mr. Apple fanboy. Let's not put too fine a point on that, but you've switched over to the dark side,
haven't
you?
That's right. Well, I mean, I'm using the Galaxy S8. I pre-ordered one, actually. I went for the launch they had in New York, played with it, loved it, and while I was in New York, I pre-ordered mine. Fantastic device from a design point of view. You know, software-wise, I don't think there's much of a difference between iOS and Android anymore. Application-wise, they're pretty much, you know, next to each other as well. The only thing I miss from the iPhone is that everybody else on my family is on an iPhone and they use iMessage, so I'm kind of missing out on that conversation.
Again, WhatsApp groups.
WhatsApp groups, but...
iMessaging.
But here's the deal, right? I mean, as far as my daughters are concerned, I haven't bought them iPhones, but they have iPods and iPads. So, I mean, you can't get WhatsApp on them. So if they want to sort of communicate with me, what I've done now is there's a tool that we use at the company called Slack. It's a messaging app, and I've literally set that up at home, educated every single member of my family how to use Slack instead of iMessage. So that's the only thing that I have those withdrawal symptoms about. Other than that, this phone is just fantastic. You know, specifically Samsung Pay. I'm enjoying that very, very much.
Mm.
I know you guys have talked about Samsung Pay a little bit on the show before.
We've been talking to Nick about that, who's kind of doing an experiment. I think Samsung have said to him, look, here's Samsung Pay. Want you to give it a go. Give it a real test drive. I think they put a little bit of money on there, and he's due to spend that. Of course, he was very excited by that. You know what Nick's like with his shopping. But, there is a serious point behind this, because, I'm using it, and last weekend, I used it in three or four stores, and it wasn't a trial. But a few weeks ago, I was getting really blank looks. Well, no, you can't pay with your phone. What are you trying to do?
That's true. Yeah. A lot of people. And if, you know, people give you those blank looks with the phones, wait till you pay with the Gear S3 watch, because this supports Samsung Pay as well. And we went out for an iftar literally a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, the woman came up with me with her machine, and she's like, sir, can I have your card? And I took my watch, and I, like, literally dinged it, and she's like, what's going on over here? Everybody on the table was like, what in the world is going on over here? 5 seconds later, the transaction went through. I had paid my bill, and, you know, everybody was in awe.
So you literally just, like, put your watch onto the device, the same device.
Absolutely.
That you would normally stick your card into.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's it. That's just
it. Does that make you look super cool in front of everybody else?
Absolutely. It makes me the talk of the town, which I love a lot.
I mean, the thing is, you just unlock your watch, don't you? Just unlock it, and as long as it's linked to your phone, then it will work.
So the way it works is there is a passcode on it, and as soon as you take it off the wrist, it recognizes that you've taken it off the wrist, and the passcode comes on. But as long as you've authenticated it once and it's on your wrist and you haven't taken it off, you can just go ahead and, you know, use Samsung Pay like that.
Because that's one of the biggest concerns, of course. So you don't want to be kind of accidentally walking past something and paying with your watch or your phone or whatever.
No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. I mean, you need to have the credit card terminal sort of put on the amount, put on everything else. So it's not like, you know, just kind of walking by, ding, 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 next thing you know.
You've paid for everybody's shopping.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've kind of thought of that, and it works well.
You'd have a lot of friends, though, paying for everybody's iftar, wouldn't you? I mean, that would work quite in your favour, I suppose.
I only paid for mine. Because
I'm seeing that there are lots of kind of announcements from retailers now saying, we've gotten now Samsung Pay, and, you know, please come and use it, and kind of thing. So it's really catching on.
Absolutely. I think Landmark Group just announced it last week as well, and they said that's going to be across 600 of their stores across India and the Middle East, which is fantastic for, you know, Samsung and Samsung Pay. Mm. I actually had a chat with Samsung about Samsung Pay, and I asked them, are they making any money per transaction? And they said, nope, they're making zero out of every transaction that you're using with Samsung Pay. Their whole idea is to get people on the Samsung platform. They want to make money selling the hardware.
It's about ease.
Exactly, absolutely. They want people using Samsung hardware. They make zero of every transaction that you use on Samsung Pay. So that's actually quite clever.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. But it does. It works really, really well. I mean, there's no doubt that once it's widely recognized, it's going to be an awful lot quicker.
Oh, absolutely. Here right now in the UAE or the Middle East, Samsung Pay is the first payment solution to sort of launch with your phone or your watch or whatever. In the US, you have Apple Pay, you have Android Pay, LG is doing their own version of payment in Korea. So there are a lot of technologies that are sort of going to come into play and compete against each other. What wins is really depending on the popularity of which gadget or platform people are using.
That will come out on the wash, there's no doubt about that. So it's the Tech Clinic. Abbas Jafar Ali is here from teabreak.com. If you have a question you'd like to put to Abbas about something techie, then you can do that on 4001 or via the free app. You can call in. Esther is at the phones today. 423-1010 is the number.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
On Drive Live, it is the Tech Clinic this afternoon. Our guest is Abbas Jafar Ali from teabreak.com.
Virus. Tech Clinic.
A slightly frustrating day, but you're relaxed now. You're in the air conditioning. The calm of this rather blue room.
Hopefully. And your soothing voice as well.
Oh, soothing voices. That's the first time I've heard that, Abbas, but I thank you. Somebody just texted in. I love the idea of this, actually. I just got motorized blinds in my house, which sounds very cool, but then there's an endless fun with 3 exclamation marks. Isn't that
thing? I'm guessing they've got a remote control, and then they just, you know, click a button. They come up, they come down.
Or if they're Venetian, you can angle them so that the light goes on the ceiling and bounces or comes straight down towards the carpet, all that stuff.
Nice.
But isn't that what you do? If you stay in a nice hotel and they've got, you know, anything motorized like curtains.
They do.
Most people, I defy anybody to not spend 15 or 20 minutes opening and closing the curtain, because it's just what you have to do. It's like, oh, look at that.
So there was a very cool Kickstarter about a year ago, which literally replaces the little lever on which your string moves across with a motorized one, and it's battery operated. So there's literally nothing required. You put that, press a button, and it automatically just moves the wheel. So, you know, your shutters and blinders automatically go up and down. Very cost effective, you know, no installation, nothing required. Literally pull the old lever out, put this new one, battery operated one, and you're good to go. I thought it was a fantastic idea.
Oh, that's a nice one.
I think I'm going to order one.
Oh, it's better than most of the Kickstarters that we get in here when your associates in here, Nick Reagan, with this rubbish stuff. You can do them individually or all together. This is a person who's had a couple of busy weekends with the motorised blinds. But that's a great idea.
Great.
You know, back to Samsung Pay for a moment. I've had this issue. Somebody texts in, whenever I use my phone to pay, it always asks me to sign a slip. Now, I've had that. I've had to sign a slip with the older terminals.
Correct.
But also have to put in a PIN number with some of the slightly newer terminals. What you need is the new terminals.
Absolutely. So the latest terminals, I think as long as you can authenticate with your Samsung phone using a fingerprint or the PIN, you don't need any more authentication. Slightly older ones, you'll still need to enter your PIN, and the really old ones, you still need to sign on them.
Yeah, you do. And I was in a sports shop or somewhere, and the guy said, no, we're waiting to upgrade the terminal. So there is kind of an awareness there.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some terminals that don't work either. Look, I mean, I've actually gone through 5 or 6, and in particular, I'm assuming it's either Emirates or Enoch, one of them. No, Emirates. I mean, the machines on their stations, they have trouble with Samsung Pay. I've literally gone to 3 different Emirates stations and none of them could authenticate my transaction. Enoch, on the other hand, worked flawlessly. So there are some older machines that will need updating.
Okay. You've got a few issues with anything at stations today, haven't you? With your new tires and your car failing and
technology,
all that sort of stuff.
Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Tell me about it. Technology is great until it crashes and you don't...
It always does.
Yeah, in the end. Where are we? Samsung Pay, Nokia, the 3310, which we haven't got here, but you are kind of quite excited about. Let's look at OnePlus. This is something that we get lots of questions in about, actually, and Nick has become more and more vocal, positively vocal, about OnePlus. This is a company that's really starting to entrench itself.
It's one of those companies that has sort of reached at a point where it really needs to sort of decide whether it wants to compete with the Apples or the Samsungs or stay where it has been. And I think, unfortunately, with the OnePlus 5, they're moving up, which sort of goes against their whole thing. When they started out, they were providing you with quality hardware at very attractive prices. That was their selling point. And they had a design element of its own. I mean, you know, you could tell that it's a OnePlus phone. Sadly, the new one, the OnePlus 5 that launched last night, literally, couple of issues with it. First, it's $500, so it kind of brings up in the range of, you know, Samsung's and stuff like that.
It's premium.
I mean, yes, it still has those high-end specifics, but, you know, you were excited paying $300 for it, not necessarily $500. Secondly, the new phone looks identical to the new iPhone. I mean, they've lost their design language. It honestly looks exactly like the iPhone 7 Plus. You put it aside next to each other and you're like, okay, wait a minute, this is a blatant copy of it. So, I mean, they've lost that edge as well. I'm not sure. I mean, having said that, the CEO went on record yesterday saying that they've received the largest number of pre-orders they've had for any device, even at $500. So people are willing to pay that much for it. But my question is that if you're willing to pay $500 for it, why not just step up a little bit and buy your Samsung or the iPhone? So maybe it's that initial order, but I don't think they're going to be able to sort of sustain with that.
Well, exactly. That's the question, really. I mean, in this current market, in this day and age right now, where you've got Apple or Samsung really ruling the phone market right now, is there a point, really, in bringing out a phone like this and trying to compete with them? Can you really make a dent?
Look, I mean, forget Apple and Samsung. Even when you look at devices by the likes of Huawei, who have come on so strong in this particular year, I mean, they just came out of nowhere. The last 4 quarters have been fantastic for them. They've made great phones at prices that don't compete with Samsung or Apple. So if you are going to go down that route, it's not just Samsung and Apple that you need to compete with. It's Huawei as well. There are tons of other Chinese manufacturers that you're sort of competing with. So it's going to be very difficult for them to sort of keep this going.
Look, what we get through on the text line is generally, which one of these should I go for? I'm going to go for the OnePlus. There's been a real kind of, you've seen a real momentum towards people looking at these phones. But, I mean, if you just copy an iPhone, it's either, I want people to think I'm using an iPhone, but if you're going to spend five, I don't get the logic
get an
of
iPhone.
Spending that much. Yeah, it doesn't
exactly.
make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And people used to love them because of the pricing. I mean, they provided fantastic value with the components. With this, that's not necessarily the case.
You kind of find that it's on the, it just happens, it has to happen kind of thing. You know, different companies stealing somebody else's design. I mean, you know, the bezel on the Samsung 8, right? It's almost disappeared. Mm-hmm. And the rumors are about the new iPhone.
The new iPhone will be like that. Absolutely.
Will be even more. You
Absolutely.
Know, you'll see even less of a screen on your screen.
Absolutely. Less of a bezel in front of your phone. That's true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the design direction the entire industry is headed. And I mean, this is what you're going to get in a premium phone in the next couple of years. Whoever makes that phone, be it Google, be it Apple, be it Samsung, be it LG, whoever wants to compete in that space needs to come up with a phone with those shrinking bezels. It's expensive to produce right now. It's very expensive. I think Samsung and LG are the only two companies that are doing that right now. Mm. Apple's supposedly entering that space later this year as well. Obviously, this is going to trickle down to your medium and manufacturers as well. It will happen. I mean, that's the direction of the phones.
Well, at least the glass is getting better, but it's still not there, is it? You can still smash the glass on your phone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's glass at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It is going to break. I mean, I've had people complain about breaking their S8s a couple of times already, so you know, a couple of people have already done that.
Yeah.
The good thing is that Samsung's got this 200 dirham screen replacement warranty now, so in case you have an S8 and you break your screen, just pay 200 dirhams, go to the Samsung store and get it fixed.
Which I didn't know that.
Which is fantastic, yeah.
Did you sign up for this?
I never sign up for anything. They always say, do you want a warranty for this? And I always think, I'm not going to do that.
So
if I drop my phone now, I could just go in and say, yeah, here's 200 dirhams, will you fix it for me?
Absolutely. They'll fix the screen. They're talking about the screen. I'm not sure about the back side, but the front side of the screen cracks or whatever, they'll do that for you.
Nice one.
Okay.
We were talking about Huawei. They're going to open a store in Dubai Mall.
That's right. They have a store scheduled for in the next few months, sort of like a concept store where they're going to have all their devices for people to come in, play with, check out the camera, have any issues with the devices you bring into the store, get them fixed, you know, pretty much copying what Apple's done with
this. This is going to always be my question. What is the point of going to a Huawei, for example? Like, is it just the price that you can get something very similar to an iPhone or an S8 for less, or is there anything else to attract you to this?
No, I don't think it's about the price at all. It's purely about them having an experience with their product. They're stepping into the premium space. They want people to come and play with their products and realize that, look, what they have in your hand is actually a very premium phone, and people will do that. They're also there for any support issues. If you have a Huawei phone, you bring it to them and they're going to replace or, you know, fix your issues with the phone, whatever. Having said that, they've got a couple of service centers already in the UAE, one in Abu Dhabi and one in Dubai. And I was using a Huawei phone and I did not have a very good experience going to the service center in Sheikh Zayed Road. So what had happened was the phone that I had was actually provided to me by Huawei during one of their launch events, and it didn't have the latest software. I went up to them. I was like, guys, do you have a new software version of it? He looks up, he checks, and he's like, yes, I do have it. I'm like, can you go ahead and just get this done for me? He's like, I can get this done, but there's only one issue, which is all of your data is going to be wiped out. I'm like, you know what? I'm a cloud guy. Everything owns all of my data is stored on the cloud. Doesn't matter. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Took the phone, said it's going to be about half an hour, went upstairs with the phone, did whatever it is, came back, gave me the phone. Obviously, it was completely wiped out. I had my other phone, so I was like, okay, let's go back home. When I went back home, started setting up, I realized it was the exact same version of the software that I had previously. So all they did was just completely wiped out my phone. Software was not upgraded. I was not happy about that.
Ouch.
Yes.
You'd hope with things like that, you know, having a store in Dubai Mall, that, you know, they'd be on top of things more than they already are.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. This was a dedicated Huawei service center. Mm-hmm. And I specifically asked the guy, I'm like, you have a newer version? He's like, yes, I do. I'm like, fine.
These things are central to the customer's experience,
yeah,
aren't they?
Absolutely.
Once you have that kind of experience, it's very difficult to go back.
No, absolutely. This is one of the reasons why I love Apple, because as far as the service quality is concerned, they're fantastic up there. Their service here is also pretty good. I mean, it's not as good as the US or UK, the stores that I've been to, but it's still pretty good. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that the Apple store that you actually go to, it's the Apple store owned and operated by Apple. Any other brand that you go to, Samsung or Huawei or anybody else, it's their distributor store. So they're sort of working with a partner to sort of do that. Unfortunately, they can't provide that level of support that Apple is providing here. From what I know, Apple managed to find a way of making sure they own their stores at the Mall of the Emirates or Yas Mall. And you know, that was their condition of coming into it.
Because you do get a real experience. Well, I've not been in the Apple stores here, to be honest with you.
Should.
But I've seen the queues, and I've been in a couple outside of the UAE. And there's a vibe about it. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but there's a different feel.
There is. I mean, and the people there are genuinely helpful. And, you know, you get whatever you want done over there. Usually you get something that's better than what you expected. A friend of mine just went in the other day. He had bought a case from Apple store in the US. And what happened was during the course of a year and a half, that case scratched the back of his iPhone. He went into the Apple store over here, showed them, the tech guy looked at the case. He's like, you're absolutely right. This is the reason. And since you bought this case from Apple store, here's a brand new iPhone for you. you walked out with a brand new iPhone.
And it scratched the back of it, not even his screen.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the kind of service Apple provides. So we have, you know, he's a customer for life now. I mean, when you do things like that, exactly. you've got someone hooked for life. So.
Exactly.
Did he change the case on the new phone?
I'm assuming he bought an Apple case, not a third-party case after that.
I think he probably did. All right, then. Here's just one observation before we go to a break, just briefly. Most of you use Samsung Pay at least 60 to 70 times since it was introduced in the UAE. This is Manish texting in. It works, really works, except for a few of the very old machines, and there aren't that many of the really old machines around, so a good experience there. Be interested to see when Nick gets back how he's been getting on, because he's been traveling
for sure.
With it as well. Bastia Farrelly is here from teabreak.com. It's the tech clinic. We've got more to talk about. Uber, what's next now that Travis Kalanick is out, the man behind Uber at all costs, but the board have decided he's too much of a cost. Drone racing, and also we were talking about the Volocopter yesterday.
We want to hear from you. Find us on Facebook. Tweet at Dubai i1038 FM.
So Eugene texts in for you, Abbas, and says, I bought a Huawei for my last four phones. So there's a happy customer. My current Mate 9 beats the hardware and software of Apple or Samsung by miles. And he also likes what he calls open share code. Thinks it's much better. A billion times better. I mean, Android is open to an extent.
Absolutely. I don't think Huawei phones are open unless he's unlocked or bootloaded something else on the site.
Right.
They're locked. They're definitely locked. Now, as far as the hardware is concerned, I agree with him. They're fantastic from a hardware perspective. I've used the Mate 9. I've used the P9. I've used the P10. I've used the Mate 9 Pro. They're all great products. Having said that, I think, Tim, you and I both have the Galaxy S8, and Samsung's really changed the design game. Once you start using the Galaxy S8, even if I go back to my iPhone, those very large bezels on the top and the bottom with pretty much every other phone out there except for LG, they just kind of make the other phones look like they're a decade old now. I think every new phone is going to have this design language, so get them. Having said that, yes, Huawei does make good phones.
Okay. How do you pronounce it, by the way? Somebody's just texting in saying, learn how to pronounce Huawei. It's not a three-syllable word. It's Huawei. Huawei?
Okay, so the first time that I went to one of their presentations, the guy who was here from Huawei in China, he said, simply think of it as, who are we? So he's like, who are we? And that's exactly
so
what.
So that's actually from Huawei.
Yes, the three-syllable
Huawei?
Words.
Huawei. Huawei.
So exactly. So it's like
themselves.
Who are we? Who are we?
Just so you know, we got it from the horse's mouth.
Huawei.
Huawei.
Huawei. Huawei.
I feel like there's a joke forming here, but I'm not sure if I can find it. Do you know Uber? Let's talk about Uber for a moment, because of all the tech successes in the last few years, Uber is right at the top. However, it's a toxic company at the moment in many ways, isn't it? From what we're starting to read, from what we're starting to see, in terms of company culture at least, Travis Kalanick is out. Is he ever going to be back at the company he created?
It really depends, you know. I mean, look, he, like him or not, like Uber or not, but he's done a fantastic job with it. I mean, he's made the company a household name. I'm not a big fan of the guy. I'm not sure there are many people who are. But, you know, whatever he's done for the company, hats off to him, you know. Good or bad, whether that sort of changes the culture of the things while he's out of the game now, I'm not sure. Look, I mean, when you look at founders, especially founders who've had strong impacts on their companies, the companies tend to stay that way after a very long time, even after they've gone. You look at Apple. I mean, it took Microsoft a very long time to move out of the shadows of Bill Gates, but the new CEO now, 10, 15 years later, is when they're starting to turn. So when you look at these big companies and their founder CEOs who've had such a big impact on them, it's very hard to change the company culture. I'm sure most of the people that he hired with specific thing in mind, right? I mean, they probably went along with his game plan. So moving all of that out of the company, hiring new people, it's not going to be easy. It's going to take time. It might kill the company as well. That's what happened with Apple the first time around when Steve Jobs was ousted. It literally killed Apple, and they had to come back to him, bring him back into Apple to make what it is today. So I'm not sure if this is, it looks like a good mood because, again, it looks like a good move because, again, he's done a lot of things which are very wrong on every single level you look at it. Whether Uber survives with or without him is something that we'll only find out.
But in terms of the Apple analogy, I mean, it wasn't the toxic. We weren't seeing the toxic environment that we're seeing now with Uber. And, you know, the investors in Uber were saying, we can't move, we can't do anything, you know, because he controls the votes. He's still on the board.
He's still on the board with the majority of the votes.
It's kind of trying to get the company to move forward and to get out of the rut that it's in right now.
But it's a culture rut that it's in.
It is a culture, exactly.
That's the accusation that is levelled at Uber more often than not. And the more you read about the practices within the organisation, the more you start to think, hold on a minute, this really does have to stop. You can't have a culture of what seems to be a culture of sexual harassment, for example. That doesn't play.
I completely agree. But look, it's thrived upon that culture. Mm. It's literally thrived upon that culture. I don't know when you take the company's founding culture away from it as to will it be able to stand up or not. You know, it's Lyft, on the other hand, which is the main competitor for Uber in the US. We have Kareem in the local region as well. The guy who runs Lyft is completely opposite of Travis. He's like a really great guy. That's what I've heard about him. I don't know him personally. And he's managed to do well for Lyft. But when you look at what Uber's done, I mean, Uber's literally invented this industry. I mean, you know, you can't argue with that. And again, like him or not, you know, he's done great for Uber. I don't know whether Uber's going to be able to survive without him or grow to the level which it has, you know, in the past few years.
It's just incredible to me that Uber is so present, so front of mind. That's the thing. It is, it's the Xerox of its time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is the thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. It sure is.
Mm. My Gmail account, just simply that, emptied all its contents today. IT support said the iPhone caused it. I bet IT support said, turn it off and turn it on again as well, Alan. But Alan's asking for any ideas. Have you come across that before, that something has caused an account to empty?
Sorry, what happened is the account emptied.
The Gmail account emptied all of its contents today.
So I think I have probably a good answer for him, because that exact same thing happened to me about 7 years ago or so. He might have set up the Gmail account on his iPhone as an IMAP or a POP3. What that does is it downloads a message from the server onto your phone and then it deletes it from the server. So I'm assuming he might have just misconfigured it while he was setting Gmail up on his iPhone, because that's pretty much the only reason I can think of which would wipe all his emails away from the server.
Okay. If this has just happened apropos of nothing today, then it's just unexplainable. It's one of the mysteries of the universe.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, yeah. And there is nothing else
he can't get his Gmail
message. I mean, he could try contacting Google and seeing if they can restore an older copy of it. I'm sure Google has a backup of everything in place.
That's a really good... I never thought of that. Yeah. Can you really do that and just give it a go?
You can give it a shot. I mean, Google's a big company. I'm not sure if it's going to land in the right person's, you know, inbox. But, you know, if it does, then yeah, I mean, there is a possibility of getting that done.
Google it. Go to a forum, Alan. But all the best with that. Hopefully that helps in some way. One thing before we finish, we've just got a little bit of time left, but we were talking about this yesterday. It was the Volocopter, which has been talked about, the RTO, for some time. We're going to see testing of what is essentially a two-person drone helicopter-type vehicle. It's going to start testing Q4, I think it is, this year. So we're going to see people being picked up at certain points, dropped off at certain points in Dubai. It's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to be one of the first people that comes on and signs up for the test.
I can tell from the smile that that's where you were going.
I would love to test that out. I mean, isn't that
so forget cool? The car and having to register the car and all
absolutely,
of that stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there is such a big discussion that we can get into regarding the future of automotive or transportation.
Yeah.
I don't think we have time for that right now. But I think this is a great move where, you know, there's literally no traffic to think about, you know, no parking issues, nothing at all. You just show up where you want to be lifted off from, get dropped. It's fantastic. I mean, I think that's just fantastic.
But this thing goes 100 kilometers an hour. It has a battery life. I mean, in theory, I guess it's only 30 or so minutes. But, you know, you can go a reasonable distance. You could be going 50-odd kilometers.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you could probably be picked up from Burj and land on the Palm or the Marina. I mean, you know, that...
Quite easily.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite interested on how much it's going to be priced at. Because, I mean, look, if you take a taxi from Burj towards Palm, you pay about 80 dirhams, 90 dirhams, something along those lines. I wonder what this thing is going to cost. Probably double, I'm assuming, about 150 dirhams or so. I don't know, my guess. I'd still pay that.
Is that just a guess, or is there some science?
That's a pure guess.
And you've heard nothing then.
Yeah. No,
okay.
You've got the glamour factor, don't forget, as well, to add into that, of just, you know, being airlifted to wherever you want to go.
Absolutely. Remember, Uber had this Uber chopper.
Uber
had this Uber chopper thing as well, where during the F1, where they pick people up from Dubai and, you know, helicopter them across all the way to the F1 in Abu Dhabi. So, you know, this is the future of transportation. I mean, completely autonomous vehicle, taking you up in the air, driving you wherever you want. I'd love it.
Take the glamour side out for a moment. Put your tech head on.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a technological leap.
Mm-hmm.
Any reservations from a tech perspective at all?
There always are issues with tech. Always are, right? Mm. I mean, and I don't want to be the fear monger or whatever, but, you know, things can go wrong. Things always go wrong with every sort of technology. I just hope that there's enough fail-safe methods built into it that, you know, even if something goes wrong, it switches to a backup plan or the third backup plan after that.
I suppose it's, we need to point out that it is only testing from Q4 this year. This is not, there's no announcement
exactly.
of a date of launch, as it were. But it is an interesting development. The Volocopter, we're going to start seeing them around the skies soon. It's literally like, I don't know, we're in Blade Runner universe
absolutely,
or something.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's just fantastic. I mean, just to sort of quickly touch upon the future of transportation, right now when you've got a car, what takes up most of your car's space when you look at it? Whether it's a two-door car, a sedan, or an SUV, the seats take up most of the part of your car. But imagine a future where you can literally bend the seats back on the floor, do yoga in the car while it's autonomously driving you wherever, have a full screen, you know, a theater projected on the top, recline all the way back, watch a movie. There is so much that is going to happen in the space in the next 10 to 15 years that it's just mind-blowing, honestly.
Now you're talking. I like
none
that.
None of this traveling backwards and forwards and having a frustrating day between the capital and Dubai.
See why I'm looking forward to this. See why I'm looking so forward to
this. I knew where you were going, Abbas. I love it. Nice to see you. Abbas Jafar Ali from teabreak.com.
Sure.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.